How are y'all today? Good? I want to do some teaching in the purpose of the ecclesia. How many of you in here, if I say the word ecclesia, knows what the word ecclesia means? The ecclesia is something very, very unique to what we do here. For most of us in this congregation, we've learned over the years that the word church is a special word from the Greek language called ekklesia. And if you were speaking to someone who speaks that language, they would use the word not church, but ekklesia. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Now, when you hear the word ekklesia, that's a word from another language. It's Greek language, and many of you probably have read stuff before and said, boy, that's Greek to me. Well, I'm going to tell you, Greek language is a powerful language. It's not used well with most, and it's avoided. So we say we come to church. And that is another dumb, uneducated statement. Why?
We are.
You are the church. You are the ecclesia of God. So if you ever have to go, you know, across the big pond and talk to people in another language, you will have this one, the ecclesia part. In Ephesians 2:20-21, consequently, you're no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, and with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So it seems clear here that the church, or the ecclesia, has been given a critical role in God's purpose to bring glory to Himself by and through those who are in His embrace, which would include all of us. For most part, we've been very incorrect in how we have typically looked at the word church. You say, well, I don't care about all of that. If we get here, we get our song sung, we go home, we're fine. Don't you want to know what something bigger is than having? I mean, if you were going to have something good, you want a lot of it or a little bit of it? For the most part, we've been very incorrect in how we've typically looked at the word church. For many, it's become a place of worship, which is a complete statement of ignorance. A place of worship? Well, this is our place of worship. We're dumber than dirt when we use that terminology. It's a complete statement that says, I don't know anything about here. Worship is not, nor has it ever been, confined to a place and time. Well, we're in the house of the Lord. We ought to slap ourselves with that one too. If we didn't have seats and windows and all of that stuff, and we went outside, could we have our time together today with the Lord outside in the air? Now, the problem is, if it starts raining, you get a little wetter. Worship is not, nor has it ever been, confined to a place and a time. For all of the generations that have passed and those yet to pass, these truths cannot be pushed aside as insignificant. You can't do that. We need to be very clear in our own mind as to the ecclesia we're referring to. For more than one ecclesia is mentioned in the Scriptures. The word ecclesia occurs actually 115 times in the Greek Scriptures. Interestingly, only three of these occur in the four accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's interesting. Matthew 16:18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." If you were reading that without the foo-foo that we have in it today, you would be using the word ecclesia right here. In Matthew 18:17, the text says, "If your brother or sister sins, go out and point out their fault just between you two. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen to you, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector." Sometimes a word has local application, as in 18 occurrences in the book of Revelation when it's used in individual gatherings and such like that. It happened a lot in Ephesus and Smyrna that it was used that way. The same is true when some usages of this term is in the book of Acts, as well as Paul's writing, and many of which we address to an individual ecclesias, such as the ecclesia of the Thessalonians. Now, when you say the ecclesia of the Thessalonians, what are you actually saying? The church at Thessalonica. But why we should have these other languages is because when we don't have something to steer things more correctly, we tend to build things for ourselves and call it right. Does that ever happen with people? You want to get it right. You want to have it correct. In this study, we need to keep our eyes open and say, you know, this is bigger than we think. In Acts 7:38, we have a reference to the ecclesia in the wilderness, but the context shows that it clearly refers to the outcalling ones from Egypt and the nation of Israel under Moses in the period of the wandering in the wilderness because of their lack of faith in God. All of that was in there. Now, this is not going to beat anybody up. It's not going to give everybody some great knowledge that they didn't have. In Acts 7:37-38, this is the Moses who told the Israelites, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people." He was in assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living words to pass on to us, So we leave this application of the term to one side, and we find that the Greek scripture uses the term ekklesia in connection with two distinct companies of people. First, there is a company of the circumcision of saints who followed the Lord and were ministered to by 12 apostles. The minister received a great power when witnessed beginning at Pentecost, when the circle of 12 was reestablished after the Pentecost, when the defection of Judas and the Holy Spirit came down upon them with great power. This was actively work of the apostles. And at that time, they had about 3,000 souls who were added that day to the ecclesia. Now, what did they add to? The ecclesia, which is church. Ecclesia is the better word. We will never change that. You understand? You say, well, why are we doing this? Because don't you want to know if it's right, if you had to know? Why, yeah. First, there's the company of circumcision of the saints. You have a lot of that going on. And they followed the Lord, and they were ministered to by 12 apostles. Circumcision was a big deal. You just didn't get away with that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40 to 41, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 of them were added to their, notice this, their number that day. Notice he didn't put were added to the church that day. It didn't come out that way. It was to their number. Whatever number we have in here would have been enlarged. The ministry has a basic theme, which was Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's going to be in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It continued until the circle of the 12 was again broken by the killing of James by Herod in Acts 12:2. When the Jews had already signified their rejection of the message of the kingdom through their stoning of Stephen, there were people out there, if you were in God's ecclesia, doing what we're doing here today or something like it, it wasn't uncommon for people to come into their gathering. That may be in somebody's house, it may be outside somewhere. And so all of that's happening, and when these people come in and see who we are and what we're doing, many are killed. All over the scriptures you'll find that kind of stuff happening among the people. The ecclesia is powerful. The message proclaimed by Paul is not repent and be baptized in order to be saved, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what the message was. In Acts chapter 16:31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I remember when I was baptized into Christ. I was a little younger than I am right now. In Paul's mind, I think, the obedience of faith takes the place of repentance. And justification takes the place of pardon. If you ever get really, really, really sick, and they give you one of these shots, these live or die shots, do they have live or die shots out there in the medical field? Yeah.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. And you get that live or die shot and you live. This is what the ecclesia does for you. The church is not a place. It cannot be a place. But where do y'all meet? We meet down at so-and-so. Impossible. That's not the way God invented it. God says, pull our people together. Assemble our people. Let's just look at the definition of ecclesia. The Greek word ecclesia consists of two components. It's a prefix, ek, E-K, meaning out. And the root part of the word kalesis, meaning called. When you hear these words put together, it's being called out. We're a called out company. We're not called to be here. We are called to be out there. That's where God's church lives, outside the door. Does that make more sense than being set up in a house? Now, is there anything wrong with us being inside of a building like this? No. Does it cost a few $100,000 to set up all that we have here? Could we have done it on the front porch somewhere? Saved a lot of money? Well, the word church has been appropriated by almost every sect and denomination that there is to denote their own particular form of worship. Thus, we have a Catholic church. Is there any Catholic churches around here? You got some Roman Catholic churches. Now, which one's right? You have an Anglican church. Maybe that's the right one. They have a Baptist church. They have a Methodist church. Lord have mercy. Up and down the street, you can go about anywhere.
Well, not me. I'm going to the Church of Christ.
You better be careful. You're being called by the ecclesia. And what that means, you're a group who have been called out. It's essential that we keep in mind the two components of the word ecclesia. Let me show you something. This statement supplied in Romans chapter 9:11 to the case of Esau, and God is operating all in accord with the counsel of His will, and purpose is always in line with those facts. Can God set something straight when we're sitting here trying to set something straight? Can He get it done quick a whole lot better than we do? Isaiah 46:10, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God's on our side. God helps us, and He helps us work through all of this stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:28, when He had done all of this, and then the Son Himself will be made subject to Him who put everything under Him, so that God may be all in all. It's for this reason that the called ones of any ecclesia should not consider themselves intrinsically better than others. God created the church, and God made it work. And we say, we need to get the best preacher there is in the country. Every preacher you have ever known is flawed. Do you believe that? There are preachers who have known to be, when they're not in a pulpit somewhere, in a bedroom somewhere else with somebody else. Do you think that happened? That happens all over the place. So what we do is we look at this. We say, look, I want to be in God's hand. I want to know what God wants. How can God exercise all that we need so that we can get this right? Through His prophet Isaiah, God told His people, Israel, that their devices and ways were not as his, but rather his were more lofty than theirs, even as the heavens were more lofty than the earth. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 68, for you are my people, holy to the Lord God. The Lord God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Listen to that. You're here not to throw a few dollars in the coffers here. You're here to be brightened up by God and say, you have a place here. If everybody doesn't understand who you are, that's okay. Can you still be okay if everybody don't understand who you are? There are people walking in the streets today with pink stuff all over them. Some kind of religion, it's saying something. You have that kind of stuff going all over the place. Then Deuteronomy said, for you are my people, holy to the Lord. The Lord God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be treasured to his possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of the people. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you. Do you want to be redeemed? I want to be redeemed. Abraham, though he was promised a seed by God, could not himself provide one in whom that seed should be called. Ishmael, the son of a maid, was begotten according to the flesh, and the flesh is in bondage to sin, and the child of bondage could never be the child of promise. Ishmael, the son of a maid, was begotten according to the flesh, and flesh is in the bondage and the sin of the child. It was not until Abraham recognized his own incompetence and acknowledged the all-sufficiency of God that Isaac was born. We can't pull any stunts with God. Let me tell you what we've got. We've got a God who is set before us, the ecclesia of God. And the ecclesia of God is there for us to live by and to see and to watch and to help others who struggle. Your job in the ecclesia involves helping other people, because you can't be who you need to be by yourself. You cannot do that. Well, I do my work at home, and I pray, and I do all this stuff. God wants us to come together. Why should we come together? What's the purpose of that? Because, here's why. I'm not confessing here, I'm just telling you the truth. I do some screwy things sometimes. And I've been in this place here so long, I've seen a lot of screwy stuff going around here. And you've seen things. But you know what the ecclesia does? Pulls us together and says, this is who we are. I'm not like Herman. I'm not like Johnny. I don't want to be like you. And I don't want you to be like me. I want us to be who God made us to be. And whenever we come together, we can come in union. And every time we're here, we are in that environment. And God is making things right in our lives every day.